Welcome to the Davenport Cleaners Halftime Show on KSCJ. Here's your host, Brian Vakulskas.
And I'm joined by Jared Diamond, who covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal. And he covers all kinds of sports, but he focuses on baseball. And Jared had a column in this week that intrigued me. It's about this whole Astros cheating scandal and, the baseball cheating scandal in general. And Jared, just setting this up, I don't think anybody has reported this that I've seen, or not many people have, about the deal that Major League Baseball made with the Houston Astros and the players when they went and investigated this. Are you're breaking some news here.
Well, look, I think it's been a big question since the moment Major League Baseball released its findings in this investigation as to why players were not punished. And there's been a lot of people, fans, even other players, upset that no players were punished, especially because Rob Manfred, in that report, said multiple times that all of this cheating was, quote, player-driven. So why were no players punished? And the answer for that is because early in this process, early in the investigation, the league made a deal with the Major League Baseball Players Association that promised immunity to players in exchange for their honest testimony. And it's really interesting to think about perhaps why they would do that. And it's led to a scandal, this enormous scandal, where the people who were actually sort of committing the crime got off, in many ways, scot-free, while it's upper management that was really hammered in terms of a real penalty.
So as we see this shakedown, Major League Baseball made this deal. What was it about the scandal that made them have to make this deal in order to get the players to talk in the first place?
The reality is players would not be very interested in talking with Major League Baseball if they feared suspensions, if they feared fines. That's not a huge surprise. You know, we look back to things like the Mitchell Report or other investigations into performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, and active players were just not part of it, generally on the advice of the union. And baseball did not want a situation where this investigation was going to drag on for months and months and have grievances and things like this. It could have taken a year. It could have taken 2 years. The Mitchell Report took 20 months to get done. Because players were cooperating here, this got done in 2 months. The MLB was able to take swift and decisive action and get to the bottom of it. And what it showed, I think, in many ways, is that Major League Baseball decided that this was not an issue that it wanted to get into a fight with the MLBPA over. Things between those two sides are fraught enough as it is. And also, baseball just wanted answers. They wanted to understand what actually happened, because they want this to be about preventing this from happening again, not necessarily have it be about sort of relitigating the past.
With Major League Baseball players, are they under an obligation to talk to Major League Baseball if they've been granted immunity in this situation? Once they were granted immunity, were they forced to talk?
Major League Baseball has the right to talk to players in the scope of an employment-related investigation. The union had no power to stop players from talking to them. But what the union is able to do is sort of delay and make it difficult for MLB to schedule interviews. And the other thing that could happen is players, a player shouldn't lie. No player should lie. But there's always that gray area between lying and just not being forthright. And certainly if a player is afraid of repercussions, it's a lot more likely that player might not remember certain things that went down, or just be a little more evasive about exactly what happened. My understanding from talking to everybody involved here is that a couple dozen current and former Astros players were interviewed, and at least as far as MLB is concerned, those players were forthright, considerably more forthright than they typically are in these investigations. So I think in MLB's mind, it was the right decision to approach it this way.
So, but could, 24 players, whatever, get together and say, we're going to go in there and absolutely stand silent? Or would they have suffered repercussions for just standing silent? I know it's hard to do with 20-some people to get them all on the same page, but could it happen?
It's tough. I don't think that a player could really go in there and just plead the fifth. They're not exactly protected by the Fifth Amendment. This isn't a court of law. But, look, no one's forcing them to be sort of the, no one is forcing the players to sort of give anything beyond one word answers, right? And in this case, it sounds like knowing that they were protected, they were more willing to sort of get into specifics about what they were doing, what the Astros were doing, how it all went down, and because they knew that they were sort of going to be okay. Because you look at this report, not only were no players punished, no players were even named other than one, Carlos Beltran, who, of course, is not an active player anymore, but was at the time. No other Astros player was even named in the report. You didn't feel Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, George Springer, any of these guys. So, look, in many ways, their reputation individually came out of this sort of unscathed. Look, there's a lot of people out there that are just sort of blaming everybody who played for the Astros, and certainly their championship in 2017 is tainted in the eyes of many, and there's going to be much more conversation about that moving forward. But at least in terms of their playing status or their wages, everything's kind of okay for all these Astros players who sort of clearly were breaking the rules.
I'm chatting with Jared Diamond. He covers sports, especially baseball, for the Wall Street Journal. Jared, you've also got a book coming out later this year, Swing Kings, and that'll be available March 31st of this year. And inside story of baseball's home run revolution, so right before the baseball season starts, that'll be fun. But getting back to this story that with the Astros, as we see now, spring training is going to be coming up here pretty soon. Is there going to be a ban on people asking questions about these to these Astros players or people that we know are involved? Because it's going to come out who talked eventually, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think everybody understands. Look, if the Astros are smart, and if they have smart people running their media relations, public relations, which I believe they do, knowing those people, then, of course, you have to put these players out front and center. You want them to be apologetic. You want them to try to be as honest as they possibly can, or at least show some remorse for what happened. You know, recently, the Astros had a fan fest, I think, over last weekend. And a couple of players were trotted out in front of the media. I saw Jose Altuve now, Bregman specifically. And they didn't say very much. They didn't seem particularly contrite. And I think that's a problem. And I think that the Astros realize it's a problem. Just the other day, earlier this week, you saw Jim Crane, the Astros owner, was on television. He said during spring training, the players will be apologizing. They will sort of be addressing the media and addressing the situation at least to the extent that they can. I think that's really the only thing to do. There's no way to make this right. There's a lot of people that are sort of forever going to say that the Astros are tainted and this is, you know, they deserve scorn. But at the very least, they have to be out there and show some remorse, make some sort of apology for what happened, because they really did. What the Astros did, and I'm not naming any individual people here, but as an organization, what the Astros did is question the integrity of the game. And it's impossible to overstate what that means. I mean, we think about baseball or any sport, but we're talking about baseball specifically. What is it? If you think about it too hard, it all falls apart. If you think about baseball too hard, all it is a bunch of guys in pajamas running around in the dirt. The only reason it means anything to us is because there are these rules that we all agree mean something. We sort of collectively decided that these rules governing this silly act of running around on this field means something. And the second you start questioning those rules, questioning whether what you're seeing on the field is genuine, the whole thing sort of crumbles. And that's why this is such an enormous scandal for baseball and why they have a lot of work to do to regain people's trust.
How much of a New York Mets story is it, being somebody that lives in the area, that they lose their manager over something the Mets had nothing involved with before he ever coached a game?
Yeah, it's about as Metsian as anything could possibly be. Like you said, the Mets had absolutely nothing to do with this in any way other than the fact that they hired a guy that happened to play for the 2017 Astros, who also happened to be one of the best players in the history of their franchise. Not like this is some random guy off the street, and now they're wrapped up in it and they had to fire him. And I understand why they fired him. Honestly, they really had no choice. As far as I'm concerned, once Carlos Beltran's name is in that report and things start swirling around, A.J. Hinch gets fired and Alex Cora gets fired, what are the Mets going to do? They need to move forward sort of with a clean slate. They don't need to be wrapped up in this because, like you said, they had nothing to do with it. So why sort of have anything hanging over them as they head into spring training. And that kind of stinks for Carlos. You know, I think he would have been a great manager. And I hope that he gets an opportunity to manage at some point. But look, the reality is he did something wrong, and there was a consequence for it, and the Mets are now moving forward with somebody else. We'll find out who probably very soon.
I'm sure this story will continue. Before I let you go, just tell us a little bit about Swing Kings, what to look for.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for asking about it. It's coming out on March 31st, Swing Kings. It's the story of the home run surge in baseball over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But what it's more specifically about is a group of players who any baseball fan knows, who have been, we're on the fringes. We're sort of on the cusp of being out of baseball. Guys like J.D. Martinez, Justin Turner, Josh Donaldson, others, who remade their swings from scratch by working with sort of a very unexpected group of people, these outside coaches who didn't play baseball themselves, didn't work in professional baseball, and yet were convinced that they knew a better way to swing a baseball bat than what was being taught in Major League Baseball. And these guys turned around their careers and became stars. And it's sort of the story of innovation and how sometimes the greatest innovation happens in places you don't expect. And yeah, it comes out on March 31st. It's available for pre-order now. So, you know, if that's intriguing, don't hesitate. Go online and order it right now. You'll have it the day it comes out of your home.
All right, and you can also read Jared every week in the several times a week sometimes in the Wall Street Journal covering baseball and all kinds of things sports. Jared Diamond, just fantastic talking to you. I'm sure we'll hook up with you when your book comes out, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
And we'll be back with more high school basketball right here on KSCJ.